Everything in life is based on the principle of risk and reward. Every choice, every decision, in our mind, we're thinking, I really want to reach that goal. I really want to accomplish this task, but is it worth it? And that really is the question. Is it worth it? If I'm going to expend this much energy, this much of my life, or this much money, is it worth the reward that I'm going to get in return? So even today, you're going to make choices that reflect this well-thought-out list of pros and cons. But what this means for us today is that if you're not active in the Great Commission, it's not because you're unable, it's not because you're too busy, but rather our inaction shows that we've already thought this through, and we've made the decision that the reward of following Jesus, the rewards of making disciples, are simply not worth it, and that the rewards don't outweigh the risk. I'm Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show as we continue this discussion around the Great Commission. So in Zambia, as we move from the dry season, or in this case, the rainy season, to the dry season, there's always that transitional time with the weather, and everyone gets the flu. I mean, you just know it's coming. You know it's there. Every year, you're going to get sick, and it's going to be bad. Well, that's where we are right now in our home. That's where we've been for the last 3 weeks. We've been having high fevers, just body chills, body pains, joint pains. We even thought we had malaria. We went to the hospital twice, testing for malaria, getting our full blood count so we can see if those white blood cells were high and if we needed to go on antibiotics. Lisa and I were the first ones to get sick. We wanted some ice cream. All the kids are watching us have ice cream because we weren't feeling good. And if you're not feeling good, it's kind of that general rule. You have to have ice cream. And all the children were like, man, we want to get sick too so we can have ice cream. Well, they all got sick and they got their ice cream. But, you know, looking back at everything, I'm just wondering why, you know, we should just have ice cream when we're feeling better too. Why wait until you're sick? Why wait until you really can't enjoy things to its full potential? Just go out and buy some ice cream today. If you're feeling well, eat that ice cream. Get your favorite flavor. For me, it was the mint chocolate chip with dark chocolate. I think that's the way to go. It's the only way to go if you're going to have that flavor. And so pray for us. We're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel. Just yesterday, I think, was one of the first days when no one in our family, there wasn't anyone who had a fever. And then someone had a fever again. And so we're trying to get out of this loop of sickness. And hopefully by next week, we'll be there. And we'll let you know how we're doing. But if you would pray for us, we would really appreciate it. So anyhow, as we look at the Great Commission, as we continue with the topic at hand, we're talking about risk and reward. Have you ever thought about that principle before? We often think about like a financial investment. If you make a low risk investment, you'll get a low return. But if you make a high risk investment, you're looking for a greater return. But there's also the chance that you might lose everything. So, you know, there's a high risk that things could go wrong. When you're in a relationship, or if you want to start a relationship, there's a risk. There's a risk factor where you're thinking, should I make myself vulnerable? Should I open up? Should I take that next step? What if my feelings aren't reciprocated? And so all of this is going in your mind. When you're, you know, jumping out of an airplane to go skydiving, you're thinking, is this worth it? No, it's not worth it. I've never gone skydiving. I can't really talk about it, as an authority here. But I've gone in airplanes before. I enjoy flying. I don't mind. But I like eating my chicken curry, drinking my ginger ale, watching a show. I can't imagine just opening the door and jumping out because of the thrill of falling. You know, you're taking that risk that the parachute, that it actually will open up. And most of the time it does. And it's a good thing. It's always a good day when the parachute opens up. So whether we're talking about a financial investment, a business, a venture, starting a relationship, or jumping out of an airplane, there is always that risk. You're looking at the risk, you're looking at the reward. And it's the same thing when you're talking about going out there and opening up a conversation with someone, maybe a complete stranger, maybe a family member, but you're talking to them or you want to talk to them about the Lord. And you're asking yourself, before you start that conversation, is it worth it? Is this conversation going to go well? Well, you have to weigh out the risk. You have to weigh out the reward. You have to look at everything and you're going to make that decision. Now, obviously, we know that anytime that you're going to talk about Christ, you're going to witness to someone about your faith, it's always worth it. We know that to be true. But these are the thoughts that are going through your mind as you're making that decision of whether or not it is worth it to you at that moment in time. So everything we do in life is based on this principle of risk and reward. Every decision, every action, every desire is filtered through our own value system. Okay, and this is really important to understand, is that your decisions are built around your values. And that value system controls what you think is worth it or not. And everyone has a different value system. Everyone thinks differently about what is worth it and what is not worth it. When you walk into a room and have you ever walked into a room where you're wondering, who do I talk to? Maybe you're going to a fellowship, a party, a business meeting, and everyone's kind of in groups already and you're wondering, where do I go? And you see George over there and then you see Tom and you're like, well, I don't really like Tom. I don't really have anything in common with him, but George, he's a good guy. We share a lot of values together and you go talk to your friend. Okay, well, you've weighed out the pros and cons. Okay, when you woke up in the morning and you put on your outfit, again, you ran through this risk and reward. You thought, man, if I wear this, what will people think? Well, what are they going to say when they see me wearing this outfit? When you are starting to get ready for a road trip and you're like, what snacks do I buy? What food are we going to pack in our vehicle so that we don't die of starvation as we go from point A to point B? And you're thinking, well, what's good on a road trip? What is mobile? What is not going to make a giant mess? You know, earlier on in our family, I used to buy things like bananas. You know, I was trying to be healthy and I'm like, you know what? Why not bananas? Everyone loves bananas. And our children were young. And I quickly found out that you don't buy bananas when you're going on a road trip. It's just not a thing. You should not do it. They just got everywhere. And they were just squished and smushed and smeared on the seats and on the floor and on the windows. And if there's one thing I don't like doing in life, it's trying to clean up a squished and smushed and smeared banana. And so, you know, you have to weigh that risk and reward. The reward is that, yeah, your children will enjoy a healthy snack, but the risk, I think it says don't do it. You know, who cares if it's healthy? Just go for something like pretzels. At least with pretzels, you get a vacuum cleaner and it just, everything comes right up. There's no problem. There's no fuss. You just vacuum it. It disappears. It doesn't happen like that with a banana. So your decisions are going to reflect your values. Someone who is going to buy bananas for the road trip means that they really, really value healthy food. You know, that's how it is. So your value system is going to reflect the priorities in your life, what you're willing to live for, what you're willing to die for, what you're willing to take a risk on. So, and you're going to be defined by these same values. Even right now, people know who you are and they define you by the things that you value. People know what you value. People know who you are. And your values control your decisions. There was a recent poll earlier this month with the Wall Street Journal, NORC, showing kind of a readjustment of American values in our country in regards to five different categories. And I found it really interesting because remember, people are willing to take risks in their life People are willing to ask themselves, is it worth it for me to do this? All of that is based on what they value. It's based on their values in their life. Your values control everything, every decision, every action. Most of your life is controlled by the things that you value. And so these five categories, this is from 1998 to 2023, and they polled people asking them, how important are these values to you? Well, from 98 to 23, in regards to patriotism, it went from 70% to 38%. With religion, it went from 62% to 39%. Quite a drop. Having children went from 59% to 30%. Community involvement, 62% to 27%. So just these four categories, the stats are going down. They're like just really falling fast. People are not valuing God anymore, religion, church, having children, building a family, community involvement. All of these things are traditional values in our country that are under attack. And we see a great decline in these values. And if we're not valuing these things anymore, then what are we valuing? Because our values control our decisions. Our values will control how we make decisions. Now, the one value that actually went up was in regards to money. People value money. It went from 31% to 43%. But really, money can't be the thing that governs our decisions. We can't have money as the main factor that controls whether we're asking, oh, is it worth it for me to do this or not? You know, am I going to get a financial benefit? If we allow that to be our motive for everything that we do, we're going to find ourselves in a heap of trouble. You're going to be just lost and alone eventually because money has nothing to do with relationships. Money has nothing to do with community or your family or your faith, your relationship with God. It has nothing to do with being a good citizen of the country to which you belong. Now, a lot of times when we talk about risk and reward, people immediately think about financial investments, and because that's how we normally play it. But today, I want to look at your life choices, but especially your choices in regards to the Great Commission and your commitment to God's work. Everyone's view of risk and reward are based on two different perspectives, two different life outlooks. And Paul mentions them both in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, when he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So when we employ a worldly mindset, when we're looking at whether something is worth it, whether a decision or a choice is worth taking, when we're looking at risk and reward, a worldly mindset will tell you that a good decision will always bring about a positive outcome. Now, you're thinking, oh, wait a second here. Are you saying that Christians should have more of a negative? We should want that negative outcome? No, of course not. Everyone wants a positive outcome. Everyone wants things to work out. When we make choices, when we're weighing pros and cons, we want things to work out in our favor. This is, of course, no doubt. But just because things work out doesn't mean it's a good choice. In fact, there are times when making the right choice doesn't bring about that positive outcome that we're looking for. Doing right is always right, whether or not things work out or don't work out. Doing right is doing right. Following God, being obedient to His word, should be the priority, not what happens afterwards. We shouldn't be looking at the consequences of our obedience to God. If we're obedient to God, and yet there's fallout with our friends or family or with society, does that make our obedience to God a bad choice? Does that make that obedience to God a negative thing that we should be avoiding from now on? Because, hey, look at, things didn't work out. Things didn't really happen the way I thought they were going to happen. And I wasn't really blessed. I didn't feel good. I wasn't really comfortable. Things did not work out. So this whole obedience to God thing, it was a bad choice. There's risk and reward. That's a carnal and worldly outlook that we should avoid. Don't always gauge a good decision based on how good the result is for you or how comfortable it makes you. The risk with a worldly motive is our acceptance with others. We're looking, and when we make decisions, we're like, man, if I make this decision, will I lose that acceptance that I have with people around me? Will I lose my social standing? Will I incur financial loss? Will I lose the love of the world? Will people look at me differently than how they do right now? If I live for God, if I'm active in the Great Commission, if I'm willing to be a follower of Christ, what cost am I going to have to pay to do all that? And is the rewards for following Jesus, do those rewards outweigh the risk of what I potentially could lose? Because the reward with a physical, worldly mindset is physical gain, prestige, glory, prosperity. And if you're looking for those things, well, then just forget about the Great Commission. Because you can't be looking for your own glory while trying to give God glory. You cannot be looking for your own prosperity. You can't be looking for physical gain when God tells us to be focused on the spiritual. In fact, Paul said, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't have it both ways. You need to pick a side. You need to choose a path. You need to choose a mindset, a worldview, a perspective that you want that reflects your value system. Now, if you value God, if you value the Word of God, well, then that should also mean that you value applying the Word of God and having that control how you make decisions. You know, you should be valuing God's Holy Spirit that is inside of you, that is helping you and teaching you and guiding you to do the right thing, the godly thing, not the worldly thing, not the thing that just makes you feel good or the thing that brings about that positive outcome that we want. Listen, don't be carnal in how you view your risk and reward. Be godly. A spiritual outlook will tell you that a good decision will always bring about a godly outcome. It might not be a good outcome for you. It might not end well in a physical or emotional sense. In fact, you may be uncomfortable. It may put you in a very awkward or vulnerable position because you've done the right thing. You followed the Lord. And yet you're looking at how things turned out and you're like, man, I wasn't really comfortable. Well, is the goal your comfort or is the goal God's pleasure? Is the goal for things just to be good for you, or are we doing what is good for God? Is the goal that we receive glory and recognition, or is the goal that God receives glory and recognition? You see, when we make a decision, when we're looking at that risk and reward factor, we should be thinking, well, what about my acceptance with God? What about my spiritual standing? What about my obedience to the scriptures? My influence with others for the sake of the gospel? This is what I should be thinking about as I'm weighing that choice, as I'm looking and I'm saying, man, risk and reward. What do I do? How do I make this decision? Well, am I making a decision that is good for me? Or am I making a decision that is good for God? What kind of mindset, what kind of motive do you have? Is it one that is carnal, one that is worldly, one that is based around you and your comfort and your happiness? Listen, this is what's happened today. And we've allowed human philosophy to control our risk assessment in our life. It's become quite normal for people to be led by their levels of comfort instead of being led by God's indwelling Spirit. Our comfort cannot be the main objective. when we think of comfort, our minds often go to the amenities that we've all grown to know and love, the things that give us stability and security and satisfaction. These are not necessarily bad things, but they cannot be our main factor that we are bringing in to guide us for every decision. We look at education and money and possessions and houses and investments and retirement and all of these things which make us feel good, that give us security. Well, what does the Bible say? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 and 4, Paul said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." And this is exactly what is controlling minds and hearts today. We're being led by our love for ourselves. We're allowing our love for ourselves to guide us. When we look at risk and reward, when we look at the choice that we have to make, we're asking ourselves, how do I benefit? We're asking ourselves, how does this help me? Instead of looking at it as in, you know, God wants me to do this. God has commanded me to be active in the Great Commission. Am I obeying Him? Am I bringing Him pleasure? Am I bringing Him glory? You know, there's different types of comforts that we seek, and some of them have nothing to do with materialism. We talked about the education, money and possessions, houses and all of that, but comfort could also relate to your state of mind. How many people don't follow God? They don't want to follow Christ. They don't want to be part of the Great Commission because it places them outside their levels of comfort emotionally. And so when weighing the risk and reward of a choice, we often first think about whether we're comfortable with that choice. How do I feel about this choice? Am I comfortable with talking to other people? Am I comfortable with putting myself out there and taking that risk, with talking to a complete stranger, with talking with someone that really knows me well, like a family member, a friend, a neighbor? Am I comfortable with that? You don't know how many times I've had people come to me and they say, "Damon, I'm not comfortable with evangelizing. I'm not comfortable with sharing my faith." And really, I'm thinking, listen, get comfortable with that. I mean, are you a Christian or not? Are you a follower of Christ or not? Your life is not about you. Stop making this all about you. It's about God. It's about our commitment to Him. And so when I'm presented with that choice, with that risk and reward, I'm focusing on God and how He wants me to do this and how this action will please Him and how He will get the glory through it all and how even as I fulfill the Great Commission, it's going to benefit the people around me and their eternity so that they can know that their sins are forgiven and that they are a child of God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So, I mean, you need to settle this in your own mind and in your own heart. What do you want to be? What do you want to do? Do you want to please men or do you want to please God? That is what it all boils down to. As we are looking at how we make decisions, as we're looking at the Great Commission and our commitment to it, our level of activity in it, all of that is based on, do I value God? Do I value His word? Do I value other people around me? And am I prioritizing His word in my life? A lot of times we choose the path of least resistance. Our objective is often to be emotionally comfortable with the predicted outcome. We play everything out in our mind and we look ahead and we say, okay, if this happens and I do this and all of that comes together, how is it going to be? And we have a predicted outcome. And we often look for that predicted outcome that makes us happy. I mean, no one wants to purposefully choose a path that stretches them far beyond what they think they're able to bear. This puts our own values in the driver's seat. When we allow our own emotional comfort to be the driver, well, then we're saying, I am going to follow God as long as I am okay with where He wants to take me. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow Jesus as long as He tells me things to do that I am personally comfortable with. Hey, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to give my life to Him as long as He doesn't ask me something that I am uncomfortable in doing. But as soon as He tells me to do something that I'm a little awkward with, like, hey, man, this is outside my wheelhouse. This is outside my levels of comfort. I'm not sure how I feel about this. I'm out. The reward is not worth the risk. And so in that case, that is when we don't witness to someone when we know we should. You know, it's this situation that, you know, we feel God's Spirit telling us, hey, go talk to that person about the Lord. And we don't. Because we've weighed out the decision and we've concluded that the reward of starting up that conversation, it doesn't weigh out the risk. And so we don't start, we don't initiate, and we let the opportunity just go by. We put our own values, which are out of line, in the driver's seat, these values that are based on our own comfort. So if our comfort is what drives us, we're going to make decisions to reach that goal. If your comfort is your driver in your risk assessment, then everything you do in your life, every decision is going to be your comfort. It's going to be based on what makes you happy. It's going to be based on reaching the goal that you have set in your own life. Risk and reward is strongly connected to sowing and reaping. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, Paul said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So again, we're talking about risk and reward, which is almost the same as sowing and reaping. You are sowing seeds in your life. You are making decisions in the direction that you want to go. A farmer who sows maize seeds, corn seeds, he's going to grow corn. He's going to harvest corn. That's the direction that he's going in. Everything in that field is going to be about corn. He's made that field about corn. Well, in your life, what are you making your life about? You are sowing in your life right now. You are making decisions that are going to reflect the direction that your life is headed in. And if you make it all about you, well, then every decision that you make will also be only about you and your comfort and how you feel and avoiding that awkward situation. What does the Bible say? Don't be weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you're not going to get that favorable, positive outcome when you do right. But it's still the right thing to do. It's still the thing that you should do. When you go and you talk to someone about the Lord, sometimes that is hard. It's really hard. And you just don't want to do it. And maybe you've put off that decision. But it's the right thing to do. You know it's the right thing to do. And maybe you're wrestling with it. And nothing's going to change that what is right is right. And maybe it's not going to make you comfortable. Maybe it's going to put you in that awkward position. But what does the Bible say? For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't look at the risk and reward and say, you know what? It's not worth living for God. It's not worth being involved in the Great Commission because it's not pointing me in the direction that I want to go. It's not making me feel how I want to feel in my life. I don't want to feel vulnerable. I don't want to feel like things are out of control, like I'm not the one leading in my life. Well, hey, do you want God to be the one in your life? Well, then let him lead. Put yourself in his hands and let him be the one that helps you make the decisions that please him. When our system of risk and reward is comfort driven, you know, we're going to start to say things like, hey, I don't want to do something that's going to make me feel that way or to feel awkward. I don't want to do something that's going to make me feel insecure because I want security. I want to feel good about myself. I don't want to jeopardize what people are going to think about me. I can't focus on God right now because securing my future must take priority. I need to establish myself first before following Christ. This is what you are going to say if your risk and reward system is comfort driven. If your value system is one that is carnally minded, then you're going to make carnal choices. Your value system is going to be carnal. And so everything about you is going to be headed in a direction that only serves your interests. Some people, they might say, well, you know, Damon, isn't our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness guaranteed by our Constitution? Isn't this what the American dream is built on? Is the pursuit of happiness? Shouldn't we be pursuing comfort and what makes us feel good? You know, we wish to enjoy a life of liberty and happiness. And I say, well, to do what? So you have your liberty. To do what? To just live for yourself? I mean, you have your happiness. Well, how is that working out for you? We want the whole package here in America. We want the whole thing. We want the American dream. We want the house. We want the white picket fence. We want security. We want to have a future. We want that retirement package. We want everything because every decision, when we look at making choices and weighing out the risk and reward, everything has been built to secure ourselves. Instead of looking at the choices that we're making and saying, hey, am I pleasing God? Am I making a decision that is helping people around me? Am I making a decision that is promoting the cause of Christ? What about God's happiness? What about doing right, even when it comes at a cost? You see, if we are making choices only that bring us a positive outcome, only when they bring us a favorable response, well then, what about doing right even when it comes at a cost? What about sacrifice? What about giving even when it hurts? What about all of that? You see, today there is a need to readjust our value system. Your risk assessment and your ability to sacrifice is controlled as well by what you value. What things do you treasure in your life? What did Matthew say? Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart? Well, look at what you treasure. And when you look at what you treasure, then you're going to be seeing what you're willing to take a risk for. You see, you're going to be willing to take great risk for the things that you treasure, the things that you love. So are you doing what adds value to yourself or to God? Maybe you're thinking right now that all of this is kind of complicated. You don't want to be carnally minded. You want to please God, but you want to enjoy your life. You just want to have a good life. Well, God wants you to have a good life too. We're not saying that to be a Christian means that you can't enjoy anything anymore, that you need to, you know, put away anything that is comfort related. what we're talking about right now is that our comforts should not be the main motive for every decision that we make. And that the level of our comforts should not be what controls what we value in our life. So when we weigh out risk and reward, it's not about us. It's about doing the right thing and doing what pleases God. And when we do the right thing and when we are pleasing God, we're going to know true joy. You're going to know true satisfaction. You're going to be happy. And God will be happy at the same time. And that's a win-win. But the biggest risk is not taking one. And if you think that, well, I'm just going to take a step back. Listen, not making or delaying and making a decision is still making a decision. Decisions have to be made even if you're making them from a place of uncertainty. There's no way to completely avoid taking risk, and neither should we try to. Some of the greatest things in this life came at great cost. The very freedoms that we have in our country came because a group of men put everything on the line and they signed a Declaration of Independence, risking everything for a cause that they believed in. And we enjoy that freedom today, but it came at great risk. But the rewards were greater. And in like manner, there are people in the past, our forefathers spiritually, going back to the apostles and every subsequent generation, each one living for God, each one taking up the cause of Christ, not giving in, not giving out, but pressing forward. We have what we have today spiritually in our country because of those who came before us. They didn't quit. They didn't drop the ball. They weren't so overwhelmed that they said, let me just take a step back and focus on me for a little bit. That wasn't the answer that they came to. Okay, they realized that their life wasn't just about them. And today we have so much in our country. We have such a Christian heritage. We have so much to look back on, and we are truly blessed. But it came at a risk. You see, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And in your life today, I want to encourage you to put yourself out there and to think, how can I please God? Even if it takes me outside of what I'm comfortable with doing, even if it takes me to a place where I feel vulnerable, even if it takes me to a place of uncertainty, ask yourself, what can I do for the cause of Christ? Maybe there's someone that you should be talking to. Maybe there's a friend, a family member, just someone down the street, someone at work. And you're thinking, man, I need to share my faith. I need to talk to them about the Lord. Maybe this week, you would put yourself out there and say, I'm going to take a risk. I'm just going to take a risk. I'm going to put myself out there because the reward is greater. The reward is greater. No great thing ever happened in human history without someone taking a risk. And no great thing is going to happen in your life unless you're willing to take a risk. You take these risks every day for yourself. How about we start taking some for Jesus? How about we start taking some risks for the spiritual reward of pleasing God? You know, in the Bible, there were several people who took these risks. You know, we have Abraham who left his homeland. He didn't know where he was going. God did not give him a final destination. He just left. There was the reward of obedience to God, and he took the risk. There was Esther going in before the king, unsummoned, uncalled for, taking a great risk. Joseph, in his master's house, choosing to do the right thing, took a risk. Joshua marching around Jericho, you know, very unconventional tactics that they took there on that day. I would say that was a risk. The disciples in the New Testament, Jesus called them and said, follow me. And they were willing to leave everything behind. Their families, their friends, they left their occupations, their employment, all of that was left behind. That was a risk. The Apostle Paul, oh my, I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. almost to death. You talk about a man that took great risk for a greater reward. That could be you. That could be you today if you would prioritize the gospel. If you would prioritize the message of the gospel, what could God do with your life? What could God do with the world around you? You know, Paul and the other apostles, they literally turned the world upside down. Why not you today? Could not God do the same thing with you today if you're willing to take the risk? If you're willing to focus on the reward, knowing that to please God and to give Him glory with your life is a far greater reward, and any risk incurred is well worth it. These people, they felt like the reward outweighed the risk with the actions, the choices, the decisions that they made, the lives that they lived. They felt like following God was greater. It was a greater thing to do. Any risk was well worth it. So today, what about you? What about you? Are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to put yourself out there? You know, that neighbor, that friend, that coworker, that person that you know you should be talking to, sharing your faith, giving them the gospel, and you've procrastinated forever. Are you going to talk to them this week? Can I encourage you this week, just make the decision, take the risk, because the reward is greater. Take that risk. Are you willing to take a risk today for the cause of Christ? Have you procrastinated in talking to someone maybe about the gospel? Are you willing just to, like I said, put yourself out there? While you're doing that, while you're focusing on Christ, focus on the reward. Focus on Him. Focus on giving Him glory. That is what it's all about. That's the Great Commission. It's just doing our part to give the message of the gospel out to those near and far. And you will not regret it. It's a risk you're never going to look back on and say, man, I wish I never did that. And I wish I had never taken that action. I wish I had never made that decision to follow Jesus. You're never going to say that. You're only going to look back and say, I wish I would have given Him more. So go out there today and do something new. Take a risk. And while you're doing that, go on our website at hopezambia.com. You know, we're talking about doing things that are new and putting yourself out there. Well, go on our website, sign up for our newsletter. Maybe you're not subscribed to our newsletter. You don't really know who we are, what we do here at Hope Zambia. Well, we want you to be connected with the work that God is doing here in this sub-Saharan country. We are thrilled at what God is doing and how God is leading through His word right here in this nation. And we want you to feel like you're a part of what's going on. So go on our website. You can get a little box will pop up. You can put your email address in there and you will be connected with us. And as well, if you go on the contact page, you can write us a note, an email, just maybe telling us what you think of the podcast, of the message, and maybe how God is working in your life. Again, that's at hopezambia.com. You know, I really enjoy talking about missions. This is a passion of mine. I love helping people to understand these spiritual truths and how we can do so much more for Him if we would just prioritize the things that need to be prioritized. So thanks again for joining us today. I'm Damon Matichera, and you've been listening to the Let's Talk Missions podcast. So until next time, take care and God bless.